This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahi rahmani rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyid al-mursaleen, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een, amma ba'd. My dear brothers and sisters, wherever you are, the only reason we're doing this session today right now, in this place which we've, the wudu place of the masjid, which we've actually turned into almost like a mortuary, ghusl facility, is because initially when this virus hit, it was unprecedented, so lots of people had absolutely no idea what to do. And initially they erred on the side of caution, maybe a bit too much in making this seem like an extremely, extremely deadly disease. I mean, it is deadly in its own right, no doubt about it. But over time now, over the last 2 weeks, there are guidances available from many different health societies and foundations around the world to say that it's not as bad that they initially thought in terms of the deceased. So what's happening is because of the initial hysteria and the fright and the fear factor that this would even transmit, the coronavirus, the COVID would even transmit from the deceased. That's why lots of our funerals are being neglected. Lots of deceased people are being neglected and they're having to go far and wide to look for somewhere where they can be bathed and the ghusl can be given to them, and then they can be shrouded and then they can be buried. So what's happening is that due to that initial fear and panic and the kind of reports about how contagious this is, even from a disease, I mean it is contagious, don't get me wrong, but from a disease, there's been mass fear and panic. So, but over the time, I mean, if you look at numerous different, for example, the Royal College of Pathology, their guidance on this, the European guidance, the guidance from Australia, the guidance from America, the guidance from many other places telling you that this is actually quite a low risk when it comes to the deceased. So from dead to living is actually very, very low risk factor. You've got a bigger risk in being with other people. So living to living is apparently more risky than a dead, a deceased to a living person. So now what's happening is that many, many funeral services have actually suspended their operations because of the fear factor. They don't want to get their employees or their volunteers in trouble. So they want to be precautious with it. They wanted to be precautious with it, so they haven't opened their doors. Many masjids which have these facilities, they've closed down. I've just heard of a small city outside of Birmingham, a small town outside Birmingham, who have facilities. Somebody's deceased there, but they're refusing to open up, and the family or whoever it is being forced to now take them to Birmingham. Right here, it was a similar case here as well, but alhamdulillah, Maulana Zakaria and his team, they've managed to really rally the local community. They've got a number of volunteers, and we managed to open up this place. Alhamdulillah, in Stamford, in Masjid Quba has been opened up, Medina Masjid has been opened up, and in the last last several days, we've been able to do several ghusls. Just today, and I think 2 days ago, my wife went and did ghusl for some sisters. What's happening is that even here, we're getting petitions from as far as South London, even though they have facilities there, that they want to come and do the ghusl here because they just can't. Everybody's just closed down. Well, a lot of people are relying on the fact that places like Gardens of Peace or the other one which is called Eternal Gardens, that they're going to take all of this burden on them. They are overworked. I mean, I've had discussions with them. They're overworked. They're overbooked, in fact. And the problem is that they can only do, you know, a certain number of ghusls a day and a certain number of burials a day. So there's a lot more people dying, and it looks like a lot more people may die unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, will something different for us. So you can't just rely on them. In fact, there's people complaining that how come they're not responding to us. They're already over capacity. They're very sincere people. They're working very hard, but they're over capacity. They will not be able to take care of this, especially if it gets worse, right? That's why the masajid are going to have to open. So the whole point of today's exercise here, this talk to you today, is really just to give you some, to remove the fear of this. Right, because if you look at all of the guidance, it's not as bad as it was initially thought. Yes, you still have to be careful, still have to be cautious, and we've got numerous measures in place for that precaution. And we're going to go through that with you. Mawlana Zakaria is going to go through exactly what changes have been made to the way we normally do ghusl, right? And inshallah, we want to inspire you and give you that confidence that inshallah, locally, wherever you are around the country or even around the world and you have this issue, that you will inshallah open up and get volunteers to inshallah help out. Obviously, they have to be a certain, you know, between certain ages. You take all of that precaution, but it's not as big a risk as everybody has thought. So what you have to also remember is that you can't rely on these two or three cemeteries and funeral services that are still operating, because we have so many, they don't have enough, like even locally, if more than one or two deceased people come in and you can't bathe them the same day, where are you going to store them? People don't have refrigeration facilities, right? There's only like one in a masjid, and we have two masjids here who are doing this. That's why it's very important that you listen to this carefully, you learn from this, do your own research. We'll give you links to, you know, proper, you know, how to put the proper gear on to be able to do this in a way that's very safe. But alhamdulillah, what we've understood from a lot of the research we've done and speaking to a lot of experts on this is that there's not too much to be feared about. I've heard even some people saying that there is an opinion in some madhab that exists that you can bury without a ghusl, without a bathe, you know, without a bath. Now, while that may exist, and I hope we never have to resort to that, right? Things get very, very bad. You know, some people are saying we may have to resort to that. And while that may be something you may have to do when you just get overwhelmed, right? Rather than have the body deteriorate outside, put into the ground, that's an exceptional circumstance, extreme circumstances. I'm hoping that we'd never have to go there. And I don't want us that we lose right from now, that we've lost it already, that we've given up already, right? You can do the ghusl. And even in the ghusl, even in the bathing, the Sharia allows that you do the minimal if you have to. And again, I don't think we're at that point where we have to do the minimal necessary. That's why the Gardens of Beit, as far as I know, they're not doing the minimal only. They're actually trying to do it according to the sunnah, the best that they can. But again, we have that leeway if we need to. Because just imagine those people who are actually calling for that, and I'm not criticizing such people, but I'm just saying, think about it, that if you or your father, your mother, somebody had to die, I mean, would you like to be buried without a ghusl? I mean, your last rite, the last rite by which you leave this world. Tahara and purity is a very important idea in Islam. Tahara to shatrul iman, half of faith. And we've had purity throughout. People have been taking ghusl, they've never been. There's people who've never been without ghusl, never been without a ritual bath, never been in a prolonged seminally defiled state, right? You know, that how can you just bury these people without that, unless there's an absolute extreme need? And we're not at that point right now, right? And it can be done. And believe me, subhanAllah, what we've seen locally is that you call out for volunteers, there's a lot of people willing to help. But what you need is you need good training, right? And you need good training, good precaution, and you need a good leader and a good supervisor that's going to coordinate this and make sure people are doing it properly, so that we don't put more people at risk. We don't want to do that. This is not some kind of, you know, that just do it, doesn't matter what happens. No, everybody's careful. You know, we're standing apart here, right? There's, you know, we're keeping our distance. Before, the idea was that body bags had to be kept sealed, and if you open them, then it would release the vapors and so on and so forth. But over time, right, many of the experts saying that that is not the case. Yeah, you just have to be a bit careful. In fact, many hospitals are releasing the body without body bags. So even that's not accurate, that they have to be in a body bag. I know that I've got calls from some places where the local coroner is insisting on certain things. That's just a very private, private guidance that they're providing. But in terms of the general overall thing of it, it's not as much risk, and inshallah, we have to take this. This is our responsibility. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to hand this over to Maulana Zakaria, who's been, who's gone and trained, and now he's training other people. And alhamdulillah, we have lots of volunteers, and they've done a really good facility, both in this masjid and the other masjid. In fact, the other masjid, what they did was they actually made a whole video of all the supplies, right, and exactly what to do, and where everything is, and how they need to do it. Right, and my wife received that, and it gave her everything that she needed in terms of where things were going to be and the procedure to follow. Obviously, the ghusl itself needs another training, which she took already. So, inshallah, a lot of this stuff can be shared with you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So, what we are doing here as part of the services is when the body is brought here, first and foremost, the volunteers, they have to be a specific age range with no underlying health issues. No immediate family is allowed, is permitted to come into the masjid premises. They should be self-isolating anyway. But we've put that down as a clause that we do not allow any masjid, any family members. I don't want to go through the ghusl procedure, but all I would like to highlight is what we do differently here. So once the body comes out of the coffin, the casket that is brought in here, I should highlight it's not always in a body bag. Many a times it's come into in the hospital bed sheets or some kind of blankets. So the body is brought here, the clothing, the material, it's disposed of. As soon as the body comes out of the body bag or out of the sheets, a flannel is put on the face, covering the nose and the mouth. The advice we've been given by officials is, if there is any risk of the disease spreading, it would be from the mouth, nose, or from the genital area. So those areas are covered totally throughout. So what we do is we wear a pair of latex gloves, and on top of that we double it up with a larger glove. Volunteers wear goggles, a face mask. So there's two different types of face masks. One is what they wear in operation theatre, and also this one where it kind of fits right over the nose and it completely covers the mouth. We have a biohazard bag where all the clothing, everything is disposed of. Volunteers are given aprons to wear, so most of the volunteers just wear the standard apron to cover themselves. Some want to be over precautious, so they've chosen to wear this larger one, which is also a medical grade. But the main idea is, the advice we've been given is, you want to just protect yourself in terms of, if no skin is visible, the sleeves are full, no skin is visible, so no water or no vapors, anything, nothing splashes onto the face. Just eliminating any possible infection spreading. So when we're washing the mayit, we avoid using a hose pipe or the spray gun because obviously water could splash out, and if the water is too warm, the vapors could come up. So we use very lukewarm water. We actually use a bucket and a jug, and we slowly pour the water over the body. From the virologist, we were told you want to avoid excessive movement. So we try to minimize touching or moving the body around while it's washing. After we finish the ghusl, after the washing is done, we put the body as normal in a kafan and put it into, if it's going to the same casket, we sanitize it, we put it into a coffin, and the body is then given to the transport to take the body to the cemetery. We then sanitize the whole of the area. We've invested, mashallah, in very nice expensive equipment, only because it's got 10-year warranty. Otherwise, I think £15 one would do it. So we spray the whole place down with Dettol and with bleach, wash the whole place down, being cautious that we also clean the door handles, everything else. I should have mentioned, these doors are kept closed right from the start. All the volunteers that are in here, they stay in here. Nobody comes in, nobody goes out. Just to avoid any contamination anywhere else. Obviously, after everything is done, the whole place is cleaned. The volunteers would carefully remove their PPE, dispose of it in the biohazard bag. We give them a sanitizer, or after they wash their hands with soap, sanitize their hands as well, and they leave. Everyone is instructed, advised to go home and take a shower immediately. In the last week, we've probably done about 10 ghusls almost.
Is that male and female?
That's male and female mix, and that's here and also in Medina Masjid.
How many volunteers do you have?
With the volunteers, we're inundated with volunteers. We've probably got around about 30 to 40 male volunteers, and we've probably got around about the same number of female volunteers. So the organisers are having to choose and give people turns to take part. What's been generally happening is after those who have been trained, they do the ghusl, and with each new ghusl, we get a couple of new guys to come in, observe, help, and learn it basically. But alhamdulillah, volunteers-wise, as Muftisab said, you put an announcement out there, alhamdulillah, the community is strong, people are willing to help, people will come out.
For most of these volunteers, they would not have ever done a ghusl before. So how are you training them to do the ghusl in the first place?
So, alhamdulillah, we were quite lucky over here. In January, we coincidentally happen to run a ghusl workshop. So we do have a lot of volunteers who are trained. But along with that, we have got a lot of volunteers who have come without having ever done a ghusl at all. So for those, we are actually going through the process with a local alim or a local alima. Somebody will go through the process of ghusl generally with them and then also tell them about the differences right now due to the COVID, the precautions that have been taking place. They will have an opportunity to come observe, stand far back. As you can see, this room is very big. We've got good ventilation. One thing we've been told is ventilation is key. The room should have good ventilation.
How many people do you use to do one ghusl?
So we'll use four people to do one ghusl and one person overseeing it.
And anybody who's learning will stand far back?
Anybody who's learning will stand far back with the mask and things.
And in terms of the supplies, right, where are you getting your supplies from? For these special precautionary supplies like the goggles and everything?
So to be honest with you, all the supplies we've got is kind of standard basic, available on the market kind of stuff, eBay, Amazon. We found out Ummah Welfare Trust, mashallah, they are donating. They've got quite a lot of supplies which they are giving out to different masajid and organizations.
So who can contact them if they want
you to. Can contact Ummah Welfare Trust, inshallah, the link is below. Again, if you put it out there, you'd probably find people from the community, someone who has links somewhere, and the equipment will come. The idea is the willpower, the desire to do it should be there. Inshallah, Allah will open doors and it will work out.
So while you've seen this happening here, of course, you know, it may not be sufficient for you to, be confident to everything. I think it's pretty much sufficient as long as you use the precautions and everything. But mashallah, what I have heard is that one of the kind of premier cemeteries of London, which is called Gardens of Peace, they're very mashallah forward-thinking, very proactive. They're actually willing to help. The person who's doing it, he actually mentioned that they're willing to help people to train them for this. You can go and observe and train, right, and contact them about this so that you can do your own. Alhamdulillah, since this is this movement has started in the last 2-3 days, there are now other masajid in London who are now, inshallah, becoming confident enough to, inshallah, start providing this service as well. So inshallah, other people will as well. So alhamdulillah, now you've understood how they're doing it here. Mashallah, the team here, how they're doing it. It's not that complicated, inshallah. It's not as difficult as it sounds. And inshallah, we'll try to put up some links to the World Health Organization. There's some video demonstrations from them of how to put the equipment on everything. There's a lot of guidance out there, right? And there's lots of people who are, inshallah, going to do this. So inshallah, Allah make it easy for you. Just one hadith I want to leave you with, because which I've been thinking about for the last 2 weeks, I would say, at least the last week. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wallahu fi auni al-abd ma kana al-abdu fi auni akhi." Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the assistance of his servant, of any person, of the servant, as long as they're in the assistance of somebody else. Now, you've been sitting at home all of these days. What is it that you can do to help someone? This is actually just one of the services that you can provide. There's lots of other services. Of course, take your precautions, do what's right, the social distancing and everything. You need to do that. But you need to think that how can I help somebody else? And inshallah, if we are going to help this, especially in such a huge rite, the last rites of life, subhanallah, last rites of life, I'm praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He give us all a proper, sound, final rites before we die, and that we're not caught up in a situation. May Allah protect us from being in a situation where we have to be interned into the ground without a proper ghusl, tahara, even a prayer maybe. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from ever seeing that day, and may Allah relieve us and deactivate this this virus, you know, as He activated it so easy. May Allah, he can completely do that. So we keep our du'as up and we try to help others as well, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.